All right, so get ready because today we are going to be taking a deep dive into some pretty thought-provoking territory.
Okay.
We're going to be tackling this idea of like deep obedience, or as Dr. Bill Mounts calls it, exceeding righteousness in
Well.
his lecture on the Sermon on the Mount.
Yes.
And you shared lecture 7 from his series with me.
Yeah.
So we're going to be focusing specifically on Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 and following.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, and this lecture really gets into, you know how Jesus challenges the Pharisees' very legalistic view of the law, right? It was all about outward actions.
Okay.
But Jesus takes it deeper,
Yeah.
right to the heart.
So instead of just checking boxes, he's pushing for like a transformation from the inside out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Dr. Mounts uses this phrase, exceeding righteousness,
Okay.
to capture that idea.
Yeah.
It's about going beyond simply avoiding bad actions and cultivating a heart that genuinely desires what's right.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So let's unpack how Dr. Mounts applies this to the topic of adultery. He points out how the Pharisees, they had narrowed that commandment down to the physical act itself.
Right, but Jesus brings back that Old Testament idea of coveting,
Yeah.
lusting in your heart.
Right.
You know that line about anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart.
Yeah.
It's intense.
It is intense. Yeah,
Yeah.
that one really makes you stop and think. It's not just about what we do, but about where our minds wander, you know?
Right.
Dr. Mounts makes a good point, though. He says that temptation itself isn't the sin.
Right.
We all have fleeting thoughts and images, you know, pop up.
Absolutely. He even jokes about his wife having to steer him clear of Victoria's Secret at the mall,
Right.
which I'm sure many of us can relate to on some level.
For sure.
But it's when we dwell on those thoughts, when we intentionally entertain them, that's where the sin lies.
So it's more about cherishing those thoughts or letting them take root in us.
Exactly.
But then Dr. Mounts dives into this debate about whether lust and adultery are equally bad and violating the commandment. Yeah.
Some people argue that while both are sins,
Right.
there's a difference.
Right.
While others think Jesus is redefining adultery to include that mental act of lust. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's a complex issue that scholars have been debating for centuries.
Right.
I think what Dr. Mounts wants us to see is that for Jesus, the commandments are broken not only by the act itself, but by the heart attitude behind it.
It's about that inner exceeding righteousness again.
Right. Whether or not the mental and physical acts are equally severe in God's eyes, well, that's a question each of us needs to wrestle with.
Yeah. Okay. So then Dr. Mounts moves on to some pretty vivid imagery,
Yes.
gouging out an eye or cutting off a hand if they cause you to sin.
Right.
That's pretty
It
shocking,
is.
even if it's not meant to be taken literally.
It's definitely meant to grab your attention.
Yeah.
Dr. Mounts even mentions Origen, who took it literally, and castrated himself.
Oh, wow.
But the point here isn't to maim ourselves, but to recognize how seriously we need to take sin. It's like that radical commitment to purity that Job talks about,
Yeah.
making a covenant with your eyes to avoid even looking at something that might lead you to sin.
Yes, Job 31:1. That's a great connection.
Yeah.
It's about proactively guarding our hearts and minds.
So you've got this call to deep obedience to root out sin, even if it means sacrificing things we hold dear. And from there, Dr. Mounts brings us to another challenging passage in Matthew 5, verses 31 and 32, where Jesus addresses divorce.
Right. And at first, Dr. Mounts admits he wasn't sure why he included this as part of the discussion on lust,
Okay.
but he makes a really interesting connection.
Okay, I'm intrigued. What's the link?
He explains that it ties back to the idea of whether lust itself violates the marriage covenant.
Okay.
You know, Jesus says that anyone who divorces his wife except for her sexual immorality causes her to become an adulteress, and anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery.
Okay, so Dr. Mounts is suggesting that even if a man hasn't physically committed adultery, if he's lusting after another woman, is that enough to violate the marriage covenant?
It's a difficult question, and he tells this heartbreaking story about a woman whose church elders told her she was living in adultery and going to hell because she remarried after her first husband was unfaithful.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's heavy.
Yeah.
That story just shows how real the consequences are of how we interpret these teachings.
Yeah.
There's so much weight on getting this right.
It definitely highlights the complexity of divorce and why we need humility when interpreting scripture on this topic. Throughout history, there have been so many different interpretations, and churches still hold varying positions today.
Yeah.
Dr. Mounts emphasizes that every church needs to develop its own stance based on careful study and discussion, there's no one-size-fits-all answer.
Yeah, it's not like a simple equation.
Right.
But Dr. Mounds also points out that understanding the historical context is really important.
Yes.
Jesus was speaking to a culture where divorce was rampant and women often had very few options if they were divorced.
Yes, that's crucial.
Yeah.
And there are other passages like Matthew 19, Mark 10, 11, and 1 Corinthians 7 that complicate the issue further.
Right.
For example, Mark doesn't even include the exception clause in his account of Jesus's teaching, making it seem like there's no legitimate reason for divorce.
Wow.
And then you have Paul in 1 Corinthians 7 saying that you're not bound to an unbelieving spouse who wants to leave.
Oh, okay. So we've got these seemingly conflicting statements about divorce in the Bible. How do we even begin to make sense of it all?
It's definitely challenging. Dr. Mounds acknowledges that no single interpretation can perfectly explain every verse. It's a topic that demands careful study, prayer, and a willingness to admit that we might not have all the answers. But one of the things Dr. Mounds highlights is the difference in wording used throughout Scripture.
Oh, tell me more about that. This is where it gets really interesting for me.
Well, he points out that in Deuteronomy, when Moses talks about grounds for divorce, he uses the word indecency instead of adultery.
Interesting. So is he suggesting that Moses potentially had a broader understanding of what constituted grounds for divorce? What does indecency encompass?
That's exactly the question Dr. Mounds wants us to grapple with. And then in the New Testament, Jesus uses the Greek word porneia, which also has a wider meaning than simply adultery.
Hmm.
It includes various forms of sexual immorality.
So both the Old and New Testaments might be hinting at a more expansive interpretation. But the question is, how expansive? Is it just about physical acts, or does it extend to things like abuse, emotional neglect, or other violations of the marriage covenant?
That's a huge question, and it gets even more complicated when you consider what actually constitutes marriage in the first place.
Yeah.
Dr. Mounds even brings up a scholar named Gordon Kuchenberger, who argues that it's the act of sex itself that establishes the marriage covenant.
Wow, that's a pretty radical idea. So it seems like we're left with a lot more questions than answers. But one thing Dr. Mounds is clearly emphasizing is Jesus's focus on the permanence of marriage and a level of commitment that goes deeper than what was common in his time.
Absolutely. It's not just about avoiding divorce because the rules say so.
Mm.
It's about cultivating a depth of love and commitment that compels us to stay faithful, to forgive, and to persevere, even when things get incredibly difficult.
It's that exceeding righteousness applied to marriage.
Yes.
Going beyond just following the letter of the law and embracing the spirit of it.
Yes. And in this case, that spirit is one of love, forgiveness, and reconciliation.
This has been a lot to take in.
Yeah.
But I think it's important that we wrestle with these questions. It's making me think about what true obedience really looks like, especially when it comes to something as complex as marriage.
Yeah. It was...
How do we apply Jesus's teachings on lust, adultery, and divorce in a way that honors both the spirit and the letter of the law?
Those are fantastic questions to be asking yourself. And keep in mind, this is just a glimpse into this topic. We've only scratched the surface here. I encourage you to really delve into the source material and continue thinking through these things.
We'll be back in a moment to continue exploring Dr. Mounds' lecture. Stay with us.
Okay.
Welcome back to our deep dive on exceeding righteousness. You know, listening to Dr. Mounds, it's clear that Jesus's view of marriage was radically different from what was considered normal in his time.
Oh, absolutely. Dr. Mounds even mentions how some rabbis taught that divorce was mandatory in cases of adultery. It seems like the Pharisees were looking for any excuse to get out of a marriage.
Yeah, he shares a passage from the Mishnah that lists all these wild reasons for divorce, a wife burning dinner or having a crooked nose. You can't help but chuckle at some of them, but it really shows how far they'd strayed from the idea of marriage as a sacred covenant.
It really does. And that's what makes Jesus' teaching so countercultural. He's emphasizing the permanence of marriage, even in the face of serious sin. He's not saying divorce is never permissible, but he's pushing back against that get-out-of-jail-free mentality.
It's like he's saying, fight for your marriage. Don't just look for loopholes. Work through the difficulties. And that's not exactly the message you hear a lot these days.
No, it isn't. And Dr. Mounds even challenges this idea that a good start guarantees a lasting marriage. He tells the story of his own whirlwind courtship with his wife, Robin. They fell head over heels. But he emphasizes that even with that strong foundation, marriage takes constant effort and commitment.
I think that's a good reality check for all of us, whether we're married or not. Love isn't just a feeling. It's a choice we make every day. It's about choosing to stick by our partner, to work through the hard times, even when it's not easy.
Exactly. And I think that's where this concept of exceeding righteousness really comes into play in marriage. It's not just about avoiding divorce because the rules say so. It's about cultivating that deep love and commitment that compels us to stay faithful, to forgive, and to persevere through thick and thin.
It's about moving beyond simply checking off the didn't get divorced box and embracing the spirit of the law, which is ultimately about love, reconciliation, and forgiveness.
Precisely. And, you know, it's interesting to think about how this idea of exceeding righteousness applies to other areas of our lives, too. It's not just about marriage. It's about how we approach all our relationships, our families, friends, colleagues, even how we do our work.
It's about going above and beyond what's expected, not because we have to, but because it's the right thing to do, because it reflects a heart that's been transformed by grace.
And ultimately, I think that's what points us to the heart of God, who loves us lavishly and calls us to do the same for others.
This has been a fascinating exploration so far, and I know it's probably sparking a lot of thought-provoking questions for you listening. It certainly has for me. But before we wrap things up, there's one final point Dr. Mounts raises in his lecture that I want to touch on.
Yes, he ends with a really challenging question about the very purpose of marriage. Mm-hmm. He points to Ephesians 5, which talks about marriage being a reflection of Christ's love for the church. And he asks, if that's the case, then how can we better equip couples for the inevitable challenges they'll face?
That's such a good question. It's easy to get swept up in the romantic aspects of marriage, the wedding, the honeymoon. But are we preparing couples for the everyday reality of living with another human being with all their flaws and imperfections?
It seems like Dr. Mounts is advocating for a more intentional approach to preparing for marriage, something that goes beyond just premarital counseling and digs into the deeper aspects of commitment, communication, and how to handle conflict.
He even suggests that churches should take a more active role in discipling couples and helping them navigate the complexities of married life. I think this is where we can all learn something, whether we're married or not. All relationships require intentionality, effort, and a willingness to go beyond the superficial.
That's a great point. This deep dive is really about so much more than just marriage. It's about asking ourselves, how can we exceed expectations in all our relationships? How can we show love and commitment in a way that truly reflects Christ's heart?
Those are great questions to be pondering. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up our deep dive into exceeding righteousness. Stay tuned. Welcome back to our deep dive into exceeding righteousness. And, you know, as we've been unpacking Dr. Mounts' lecture on the Sermon on the Mount, one thing that just keeps coming up is how much emphasis Jesus places on the heart.
Yeah, it's not about just, you know, going through the motions.
Right.
Or doing the right things outwardly. It's about cultivating those right intentions, the right motivations. Mm-hmm. That inner transformation is really key.
Yeah, it's like Dr. Mounts is saying that true obedience goes way beyond rule following.
Mm-hmm.
It's about a heart that's been so changed that it just naturally wants to do what's right, even when it's hard.
And that kind of transformation, that exceeding righteousness, it isn't something we can muscle up on our own.
Right.
Dr. Mounts makes it clear that this is a work of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
It's God's grace empowering us to live out Jesus's teachings in a way that reflects his love.
So it's not about striving for some kind of impossible perfection or, you know, becoming self-righteous.
Right.
It's about surrendering to God and letting him do the work in us.
Yes, exactly. And that brings us back to the Sermon on the Mount itself. It's not just a list of rules. It's an invitation to a deeper relationship with God.
Yeah.
That relationship is what fuels our ability to live lives of love, compassion, and true righteousness.
Yeah, I love how Dr. Mounts ties all of this together. It's a message that speaks to all of us, no matter where we are in life.
Mm.
You know, it's a call to go beyond the bare minimum, to exceed expectations, to aim for that kind of righteousness that flows from a heart transformed by Christ.
And as we wrap up this deep dive, I think Dr. Mounts would want to leave you with this question. What area of your life needs this kind of exceeding righteousness? Where are you settling for good enough when God might be calling you to something more, something deeper, something that truly reflects his heart?
That's a huge challenge for all of us to consider, and we really hope that this deep dive into Dr. Mounts' lecture has given you some food for thought and maybe even some practical tools to start putting this into practice.
Remember, exceeding righteousness isn't about burden or pressure.
It's about the freedom and joy that come from aligning our hearts with God's sight.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive, and until next time, keep seeking that deeper walk with God.